Good morning, everyone. I'm John Huckenberry. It is quite a day in Tehran and throughout the nation of Iran as people are gathering to vote in the most widely watched election, certainly in the last 30 years of Iranian history. We're used to watching demonstrations and other events of probably more of a religious, political nature, standoffs against the West. Those kinds of headlines we're familiar with. But an election inside Iran that's very much about Iranian issues, local politics, not the issues we're associated with. Here's a feel, a sense of what it sounds like to be in Iran today.
از دقایق نخست صبح امروز حوزه‌های رأی‌گیری در سراسر کشور عرصه حضور گسترده مردمی است که شور، شعور و آگاهی سیاسی خود را
The coverage has been wall to wall, and listening to it, or some of it, Afshin Malavi, a senior fellow at the New America Foundation, joins us. He's the author of Soul of Iran, A Nation's Journey to Freedom. The coverage of this election inside Iran has been wall to wall. Tell us what you think about the media, both inside Iran and outside Iran's coverage of this election has done to raise the profile of what's going on in Iran.
Well, John, I think the most important aspect of the media coverage of this election within Iran has been the fact that state television has hosted live televised debates for the very first time in the history of Iran's presidential election history. So what we had was a president, a sitting president, facing challengers, facing criticism. And when you have a population that is frustrated about the high levels of unemployment, underemployment, inflation, this was, mesmerizing for them to see challengers calling the president a liar, questioning his statistics. The president counterpunched effectively, pointing to the corruption of the ruling elite. But so within Iran, state television is the medium that reaches most people. But there's also a very lively newspaper media. And interestingly, John, Iranians have taken to social networking sites, the internet. There's about 150,000 Iranian Facebook users. And SMS text messaging has also become a very important way to get messages across, particularly political messages.
And all those new media outlets definitely favor the youngest voters inside Iran. Joining us now is Apuria Jafareh, BBC Monitoring journalist who works for our partners, the BBC, at BBC Monitoring, which is actually literally looking at all of the coverage and all of the voices coming out of Iran this morning. Apuria, what are you hearing? We're already hearing that the turnout has been high, and we've talked to the voter this morning who described a very enthusiastic street scene throughout Tehran. What are you seeing and hearing?
Yeah, that's right. It's been massive, and there've been long queues at all polling stations, and I expect this is going to be a record turnout, even more than 12 years ago when President Khatami was elected.
And give me a sense of is the media playing this very, very straight? Is there a contrast between state media and television coverage and what you're seeing and hearing on blogs and Facebook and those kinds of sources?
Yes, the TV, based on the election laws, they're prohibited of any advertisements today. So they're just covering the story, they're covering the elections, they're covering the people coming out and voting. But it's going to be very important because both sides are asking the people to go and vote. Obviously, the system wants the Iranian government wants the more people voting for the Iranian government. It means they do believe in the system. And the reformists, on the other hand, who are challenging Mr. Ahmadinejad, they are asking their supporters to go and vote because the bigger the number of votes are, it's going to be more difficult for Mr. Ahmadinejad to hit that 50%.
Afshin, I do want to get you and Puria, perhaps, you want to comment on this as well. What about the amount of power that Ahmadinejad has? Because he is not the sole arbiter of what happens in Iran. There's also a split leadership between the president and the religious leaders. How much power does the president now or the next president really have? I'll start with you, Afshin.
This is an important question, Farai. You know, the president of Iran is not the most powerful figure in Iran's political establishment. That is the supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who is unelected by the people. So, in fact, if we're going to make a prediction about these elections, the prediction I will make is that after all the voting is said and done, the supreme leader will still be the most powerful man in Iran. He is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. He is the key decision maker on foreign and defense policies. Now, having said that, this does not mean the presidency is inconsequential. The president appoints cabinet ministers, appoints provincial governors, makes the budget and planning, and so the president does have a very significant role in Iranian politics. It's not the decisive role.
Well, Afshin Malavi, thanks so much for helping us out this morning. A fellow at the New America Foundation, author of Soul of Iran, A Nation's Journey to Freedom. Pouria Jafre at the BBC in London. Is there any scenario under which a turnout number in Iran would constitute even an implicit challenge to the religious authorities, in that people are saying with their feet, we want more power?
It's very difficult to say. We had the experience of Mr. Khatami. Obviously, he had the support of people, but this time it is a bit different, because the three candidates who are challenging Mr. Ahmadinejad, their slogan is change. It's something like Barack Obama in States, you see. So that people are asking for change, and this time the president, he doesn't have as much power as the supreme leader does, but this time he can use this support of people to make some changes in some key areas of the country.
So, Pouria, let's talk a little bit about the idea that this 50% number is a really important number. What is the chance that no one will get a 50% number and that we will be doing this all over again as a runoff?
Okay. The government numbers say that there are 46 million something people eligible to vote. So I expect that there's going to be 80% turnout today, something like 80% turnout.
Wow.
Maybe
that's
more.
Huge.
So that's a number around like 36 million, 37 million maybe. And Mr. Ahmadinejad or whoever wants to win the first round, they need to hit at least 18, 19 million, which is massive. They need a big support if we're going to have a president tomorrow.
All right, great stuff. Pouria Jafre, BBC monitoring journalist, listening to the voices coming out of Iran from all over the country as Iranians go to the polls. Joining us now is Shapi Khorsandi. She's a stand-up comedian and author of A Beginner's Guide to Acting English. She's also, from a very different perspective, watching the political developments in Iran. She joins us from London. Shapi, I guess it's fair to say that if you lose Ahmadinejad as a character, it's going to be a real tragedy for you and comedians all over the Persian-speaking world, correct?
Well, thankfully, the Islamic Republic of Iran has many characters that are worthy of comedy material, so I don't think we'll run out of them in a long time. But I think that I am hopeful for this election. So, like one of your last speakers, Afshin, at the end of the day, when you have a supreme leader in a country, which sounds like some sort of comic book villain, it is difficult to really sort of be hopeful about the democracy in Iran. Having said that, the fact that so many people are wanting change now and turning out to vote, we can only keep our fingers crossed that there'll be somebody that will provide us with the characters that Ahmadinejad has in the past for the fuel of satire.
Laughs we need, I guess, would be the campaign slogan there. Shapi, what scenes of the campaign itself that you've observed have been either comical to you or moving and meaningful to you?
Well, I think it's very hard, in all seriousness, to think of anything comical about the plight of voters in Iran, particularly young people. I think I have cousins out in Iran who have been voting for the other guy. And I love that. I deliberately call him the other guy because we have somebody who a lot of people don't even know the major opponent to Ahmadinejad, or didn't know him until now, because on the one hand they have a Holocaust denier and they have the other one who's not a Holocaust denier. So they're all going, yay, the other one out in the streets. And I really think that the hope is that that the young people, the vast, huge, enormous population of young people in Iran are able to feel hopeful that, that there will be a change in their government in the future to sort of give them the opportunities
right.
that I was lucky enough to have leaving Iran.
Shabi Khorsandi, just a very few seconds. Do you think this election is the most important democratic moment in Iran in 30 years?
Unfortunately, I think we have had moments like this before when we've had reformists get in. I think a much more important situation would be if people were able to change the system and
the
actually
system,
have
right,
a
right.
proper democracy.
Well, we shall see. Shabi Khorsandi, stand-up comedian and author of A Beginner's Guide to Acting English, one of the people we've been speaking with this morning watching the Iranian elections. Thank you, Shabi.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.